Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Let's talk the A to Z of Merseyside football with John Keith. We're going through the alphabet, picking out the notable names. It doesn't have to be just a player, as you'll see as we're on the F's. We're going to start with a couple of players and then we'll get to the FA Cup. But let's kick it off, John, with who?
Yes, well, it's Stan Fazakli, Steve. From way back in Everton history, he made only 57 appearances for them, scoring 21 goals. But we've included him because he was once Britain's most expensive player. And given the massive sums of today's transfer market, it's thought-provoking to reflect Everton set a new British transfer record to sign Fazakli from Sheffield United for the princely sum, and it was a big sum in those days, of £3,750 in November 1920 after he'd pressed for a move. So even that part of it isn't new either today. We talk about players pressing moves, they were doing it then. He'd starred in the Sheffield club's 1915 FA Cup win, scoring in the 3-0 win over Chelsea in the final at Old Trafford. And in his only full season at Goodison, the tall, skillful Fazakli was Everton's top scorer with 12 goals in 30 outings before moving on to Wolves in 1922, later playing for Kidderminster Harriers and Derby County. Before retiring on medical advice, he died in 1946. Now, one of Fazakli's Everton teammates was centre-half Tom Fleetwood. Now, he was known as the War Horse, and he was a member of the club's 1914-15 title-winning side. Born in Liverpool's Toxteth Park, December 1888, he joined Everton from Rochdale's Hindley Central Club in March 1911, went on to make 285 senior appearances, scoring 10 goals, although he also played in more than 100 games during the First World War years. He played in England's two victory internationals against Scotland, one of them a 2-2 draw at Goodison in April 1919, and lined up six times for the Football League representative side. For Everton, he also appeared at left half, occasionally in the forward line, but it was his imposing style at the heart of the defence that earned him plaudits. His name, and that of our previous inductee, prompted the Goodison Terrace Wags to claim that Everton were the longest kickers in football, from Fleetwood to Fazakli.
Stan Fazakli, Tom Fleetwood, and as you quite rightly mentioned then, so players made waves even back then,
yes,
about where they wanted to play.
Absolutely,
their football.
Yes, yes.
What was it with Stan? What was it about Merseyside that he loved so much?
Well, Everton were a big club, of course.
Right.
And I maybe, again, like today, maybe feelers had been put out for him, Steve, and he heard the vibes and said, right, I want to take my chance at Goodison.
Surely hadn't been tapped up.
Well, that's what the... Yes, I'm trying to say that in the nicest possible way. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Right, we've done a lot of the Fs, and believe me, the Gs are busy when we get on to those, maybe next week or the week after, but we've still got a massive F to talk about now, because it's been so prominent here on Merseyside, and that's the FA Cup.
Yeah, as you say, we started to look at the domestic competition last week. We covered the Football League Cup. This week, we've got the FA Cup. Now, between them, Everton and Liverpool have appeared in 27 FA Cup finals, Everton winning 5 of 13, Liverpool 7 of 14. Now, the Goodison side led the way when they lost 1-0 to Wolves in the 1893 final at the Manchester Athletic Club, Fallow Field, when a crowd disaster was narrowly averted. The game, this is incredible, the game attracted a crowd of 45,000, three times the designated capacity, so they shoehorned them in, I guess, rather than risk a disaster outside the ground, they tried to pack them in. So it must have been appalling in there, but fortunately there were no serious injuries. So that was at Fallow Field in 1893. Everton were in the final again 3 years later, this time losing 3-2 to champions-elect Aston Villa in a thrilling contest to Crystal Palace, watched by more than 65,000, at that time the biggest ever crowd for a match in England. 9 years later, 1906, it was third time lucky for Everton. They brought the FA Cup to Merseyside for the first time. After beating Liverpool in the semi-final, they returned to Crystal Palace, where the only goal of the game from Sandy Young toppled Newcastle. Everton were back again a year later, but lost 2-1 to Sheffield Wednesday, their last appearance in a final for 26 years. Liverpool's first FA Cup final came in 1914 when they faced Burnley. That was the last time the showpiece occasion was staged at Crystal Palace and the first time the final had been attended by a reigning monarch, King George V. The game was so dull, it was reported that the best part of the afternoon was the band playing at half-time. Liverpool lost 1-0. The Burnley goal coming from a man we've talked about in this series, former Everton star Bert Freeman. That was Merseyside's last final until Dixie Dean's Everton went to Wembley to beat Manchester City 3-0 in 1933. As the triumphant Everton squad made their tour of the city with the cherished trophy, Dixie overheard a woman tell her child, "If you don't stop crying, I won't bring you next year." Well, there was no next year. In fact, it would be 33 years before Everton were in the final again. During that period, Liverpool reached it twice, losing to Arsenal 2-0 in 1950, when ugly challenges from Alex Forbes reduced the inspirational Billy Liddle to a small percentage of his usual brilliant best. But Liverpool were there again in 1965 under Bill Shankly, and this time, after a 73-year wait, Liverpool finally lifted the cup with a 2-1 win over a fine lead side in a thrilling chessboard encounter that went to extra time, goals from Roger Hunt and Ian St John securing the trophy. But Liverpool's hero was Gerry Byrne. He played for all but 5 minutes of the match, including extra time, with a fractured collarbone, sustained in a fierce, unpunished challenge by Bobby Collins. An act described by the Daily Mail as, quotes, "the foul of the year by the footballer of the year." Shankly's verdict said it all. "What Gerry did was unbelievable," he said. "He never gave Leeds an inkling of how badly he was hurt and then set up a goal. He should have got all the medals himself." If that was the landmark FA Cup final for Liverpool, a year later, Harry Kattrick's Everton followed them to Wembley, came back from 0-2 down against Sheffield Wednesday. Mike Treblecock, his name mispronounced by television commentator Ken Wolstenholme as Trebilco, was a shock choice ahead of England striker Fred Pickering, but he responded by scoring twice before Derek Temple punished a Gerry Young mistake to fire the winner and complete one of the Cup final's greatest comebacks. Kattrick, who claimed, this was disputed by the players, that he'd been kicked by Everton fans in a league defeat at Blackpool earlier that season, delivered a memorable after-match line to the media in the Wembley dressing room. "They're not kicking me now, are they?" was Kattrick's strange rhetorical question. Subsequent Everton managers to lift the FA Cup have been Howard Kendall, whose side beat Watford 2-0 in 1984, and Joe Royle, whose rank outsiders toppled Manchester United 1-0 in 1995. Shankly won the Cup a second time in 1974, Liverpool demolishing Newcastle 3-0, but remarkably, that serial trophy collector Bob Paisley and his treble-winning successor Joe Fagan both missed out on the FA Cup. Kenny Dalglish, though, won it twice, both at Everton's expense, a 3-1 win to complete the double in 1986 and a 3-2 win after extra time 3 years later. Graham Souness in charge when Liverpool beat Sunderland 2-0 to win the Cup in 1992, goals from Michael Thomas and Ian Rush, and Gerard Houllier lifted it as part of a cup treble in 2001 when a brace from Michael Owen toppled Arsenal 2-1 at the Millennium Stadium. Liverpool's last FA Cup triumph was also in Cardiff under Rafael Benitez in 2006 when they beat West Ham 3-1 on penalties after a double strike from Steven Gerrard and a goal from Djibril Cisse had tied up the game at 3-3. Tranmere's best FA Cup performances came this century. In 2000, 2001 and 2004, they reached the sixth round each year, while Southport reached the sixth round in 1931, only to lose 9-1 to Everton at Goodison. New Brighton, who folded in 1983 after losing their Football League status in 1951, reached the fourth round on four occasions between 1926 and 1957, and a totally separate club, New Brighton Tower, who were league members from 1898 to 1901 when they folded, reached the first round and lost to Wolves in their final year. And finally, Bootle, once Merseyside's premier club, as we've discussed in this series, they reached the fifth round in 1888 only to lose 2-0 at Old Carthusians.
Have a breath, John. Have a breath. That's the FA Cup in all its glory on Merseyside. Some fascinating bits in there. Not least the double success for Liverpool and Everton in the mid-60s. Almost sort of set them on their way.
Yeah. In successive years.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. And I didn't realise, I did realise, but not pay much attention to obviously Paisley and Fagan not having the success in the competition, which is remarkable,
isn't
it?
It is indeed. Brian Clough didn't win the FA Cup either. Yeah. It's that flaw in the precious diamond, isn't it? Just missing. Especially Bob, who swept up everything else.
Still as important as ever, do you think?
Well, sadly, it isn't, is it? There was a proposal some years ago to make the FA Cup a ticket to the Champions League rather than the fourth place, and I think that would transform the competition. But sadly, you see teams, shadow teams put out in the FA Cup. Now, I think it's been sadly devalued.
John Keith, thank you very much. The A to Z of Merseyside Football. What's our last F next week?
Our last F is the Football League Championship.
There's a fair
we haven't
bit
won
to
the
talk
Premier
about
League on Merseyside yet, have we?
Take a big breath for that one. John Keith will be back next week with the A to Z of Merseyside Football.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.